Hello, everybody. This is James from Sunday Morning Mimosa. Thanks for tuning in today. We're taking things down a little bit of a serious route today. If you've listened to our show in the past couple weeks, you've heard us speak about our intern here, Tawny R. LaFontaine, the original MySpace tranny, and her press conference that she did 2 weeks ago. Now, we weren't able to air it here because of legal reasons, but now we have the clearance from our lawyers and legal representation to go ahead and air this for you. Now, let me give you a little background on this. Sunday Morning Mimosa has an annual New Year's Eve party. You know how we like to throw parties here. And Tawny was in charge of the catering and the party activities. Again, if you've listened before, you've heard the full story. There was an incident with a lawn dart game that Tawny had set up inside, and unfortunately, the performers, the Itsy Bitsies, a group of the world's finest little people entertainers, came out at the stroke of midnight to perform Party Like It's 1999. Unfortunately, a few of them ended up critically injured and are still in that state. Our wishes and prayers and hopes go out to them that everything turns out okay, and hope we can get them back on the show shortly when they are healthy and ready to go. So I'm just going to go right over to the press conference and play this for you now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tawny R. LaFontaine, the original MySpace tranny, live, recorded live, from the Queens County Men's Correctional Facility, where she's being held.
That's hot. Do you love it?
Howdy, everybody. I want to thank everybody for coming today. My name is Head Warden Connors here at the QCMCF, Men's Correctional Facility here in Queens.
Well, shiver my timbers. Is that Jim? Jim! That, ladies and gentlemen, there right there is Jim from the New York Times. We go way back, don't we, Jim? I'm glad to see you here. Where am I? Okay. We're all here because of Tawny R. LaFontaine, the original MySpace tranny. And, you know, that brings up a subject here. We are here at the QCMCF, an all-inclusive correctional facility here. And we have no problems with the tranny part at all. I mean, look at Linda over here. She's a woman, and yet she's one of our top corrections officers here. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. So we are happy to have any shape, size, color, or tranny here at the QCMCF. Okay, so back to the issue that is at hand today, the reason why we are all here, and that is because of Tawny R. LaFontaine and the unfortunate circumstances that has brought her here to the QCMCF again. She will get to those circumstances later when I give her the mic, but before then, Ms. LaFontaine, you may remember, was here last year, and she did make a bit of a legend for herself. I mean, people are still talking about the first ever QCMCF Spring Fling Cotillion, which was organized and hosted by Ms. LaFontaine. And the legend that is that Spring Fling Cotillion is the reason why we are all here today. Now, some people may not understand why we are having this press conference today. Hell, I may not even understand exactly why we are having this today. But when Tawny R. LaFontaine sauntered into my office a little over 3 weeks ago with a plan to make this year's Spring Fling Cotillion here at the QCMCF bigger and better than last year, how could I say no? I mean, look at that face. I'm serious. Take a long, hard look at her face, and you tell me what you would say if she was staring at you. Ugh. Ugh. Wait a minute. Is that Bonnie? Bonnie, you know what I'm talking about. It's not the first time you've had a tranny looking you in the face. Bonnie, everybody, the top editor at Ladies Home Journal, thank you so much for being here. I'm sure you'll put together a nice editorial about the QCMCF and our Spring Fling Cotillion in the next Ladies Home Journal, am I right? All right. Thank you for coming. So anyway, back on track here. After Ms. LaFontaine came in and talked to me about this press conference, I went logically to my best man here at the QCMCF, one of our top corrections officers, Linda. I want to thank Linda for being here. Linda here has been with the QCMCF for years, and I knew she would have no problem getting all of you here today on such short notice. She had a lot of phone calls to make, a lot of press passes to give out, so she really did a great job in getting all this together. I mean, how could she not do such a good job? She trained me, for God's sake. Between you and me, I really think that she thought she was going to be getting this position, training me to go down to Brooklyn. But let's put it this way. You should have seen her face the day that she found out I was staying put. Right, Tim? Officer Tim Boner here, everybody. Tim Boner, he's actually the head warden down in Brooklyn, who got that position that Linda thought she was training me for. Oh, good times. Wait a second. Well, tie my feathers and call me Shirley. Didn't Linda train you too, Tim? Didn't you start out as her subordinate? It is amazing to me that Linda has not been promoted. Linda, I don't know what they're thinking, but I'm glad to have you. So, without further ado. Oh, wait a second, Linda. I do know why. You're a woman. I keep forgetting. That's why. And that ain't nothing to be ashamed of, Linda. You do the best with what you got. You know what I'm saying? I mean, women just don't get jobs like that, you know? Well, there is one way, Linda. There is one way. You know, women get to the top. So, evidently you're not doing something right, or not doing it all. I don't know. Anyway, without further ado, let me bring up my best man here, Linda. And, oh, man, I keep doing it. Linda, why don't you come up here, and you go ahead and you bring out Tony LaFontaine. Thank you. Oh, excuse me, Linda. I just need to say one more thing. Now, I know that I said Linda is a woman, but that does not mean that I do not want you to listen and take everything that she says seriously. She has a lot of good information to give you, so please give her some respect. Thank you. Go ahead, Linda. Go ahead. They're ready.
Thank you. Thank you for that lovely introduction, Robert. Robert Connors, everybody, our esteemed head warden. All right. When Tony R. LaFontaine, the original MySpace tranny, asked me about doing this press conference, I told her, hell no. I thought she was out of her frickin' mind. Like, I got nothing better to do than pull together a pointless press conference. That's when Tawny here decided to take matters into her own hands and went to Robert with her big plan to make the Spring Fling Cotillion the best yet. Apparently, it involves this little press conference, which I had to pull together at the last minute. So, here we are. Tawny has asked me to read something that she's written up here, some sort of fancy little introduction. Fine, no, Robert, I'll read it. Fine. All right, here, let me see. Okay. Yes. Tawny R. LaFontaine, the original MySpace tranny, came from humble beginnings. You're kidding me with this, right? Growing up an orphan after the untimely death of his parents when they were mauled by a bear during a taping of a live local news program. Despite all of his adversities, including several botched gender surgeries, it was the inspiration of his idol, Gloria Victoria of Astoria, that he was able to turn things around and become the proud mother of two married Rottweilers, Robert David McDaniels, 7, and his wife, Lorraine Louise Cottonball McDaniels, 5, Bethany, her 1-year-old snow white teddy bear hamster, and Mr. Bojangles and Elena Haraz, her Japanese fighting fish, who were laid to rest nearly 2 years ago. Oh, God. Not only a mother, but an accomplished businesswoman attending Queens Community College Night School. Head intern at Sunday Morning Mimosa, the hit comedy podcast, and hostess of multiple events and parties for high-profile clients. Despite losing her first mobile home to a flood and a second self-built trailer to a raging fire, oh God, that's horrible, she managed to keep everything together, along with being in a committed relationship as girlfriend to her on-again, off-again soulmate, Jermaine. Now, the original MySpace tranny finds herself in a whirlwind of controversy as she struggles to regain her freedom and clear her name, all while making sure that this year's Spring Fling Cotillion, here at the Queens County Men's Correctional Facility, is bigger and better than last year's. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Tawny R. LaFontaine, the original My Space Tranny. I'm glad that's over with. Let's do this. Tawny?
Hi. Is this on? Can everybody can hear me? Hello? Linda, I don't think it's on. It's on? Okay. All right. I want to thank everyone for coming today. Thank you, Linda and Head Warden Connors. I really appreciate you giving me this time today. But I think we all can agree that it is necessary that we make sure that the Spring Fling Cotillion becomes bigger and better than it was last year. I have notes here. Excuse me for reading, but I didn't want to forget anything. My name is Tawny R. LaFontaine, the original MySpace tranny. I called this press conference today to address the unfortunate incident that took place on December 31st, 2008. Or maybe January 1st, 2009. I mean, who knows? But anyway, I'm not at liberty to discuss or answer questions on the particulars of this event. I am only here to give you a formal apology to all of those involved. You know, I have more written here, honestly, but I can't do this. I can't do it this way. Tawny, pull it together, Tawny. You can do this. If there's anything that I learned in this life, it's to be Tawny. I mean, carpe diem, right? All right, so I just have to tell the whole story, because an apology at this point, it really doesn't mean anything if you don't understand exactly what happened throughout the whole day of December 31st, 2008. My court-appointed attorneys did sit down with me for a few hours yesterday, and we wrote this out. But I can't go on with this. I can't have other people put words in my mouth. I have to tell you exactly what happened against all of the advice of all of the free attorneys that were provided to me during my stay at the QCMCF. I mean, Rob, you're great, but I have to do what I have to do. So let me just take you back to the beginning of the day. I, as you all know, I am the head intern for the hit podcast, Sunday Morning Mimosa. As part of my duties, I organize events and such for them, and this happened to be New Year's Eve. So, of course, I was in charge of all the activities, as well as the catering for the big Sunday Morning Mimosa New Year's Eve bash. Now, I started out my day getting ready. I had woken up early. I was actually woken up by fighting in my house. There's been a bit of turmoil lately. My married Rottweilers, Lorraine Louise Cottonball McDaniels and Robert David McDaniels, they're having some issues. So they were fighting. So I was woken up to that, which is not a great way. Not the way I wanted to start my day. But, you know, so I started out getting ready. I was doing my makeup. I had this beautiful, beautiful dress from Dress Barn Plus. It was part of the Women of Stature collection. It was gorgeous. So I was getting ready. And Jermaine, my boyfriend, my soulmate, he was so sweet. And he offered to stay home because I was very worried about the dogs. They would not stop fighting around me. I had to put my dress away because I was afraid that they were going to rip the dress right off the hanger the way they were fighting. But he offered to stay home. Between you and me, I think that the reason they're having so much problems, Lorraine let herself go a little bit. I mean, that's not what you want to do as a woman in a relationship. I know. You got to keep it up. You got to keep your man happy. And I told her that. But she won't lay off the kibbles and bits. Oh, and those begging strips. She can't get enough of those things. And they're just empty calories. That's what I tell her. But she'll go through a whole bag in one sitting. I don't know what's gotten into her. But I've also been finding a lot of vomit around, too. So I think she's having a very unhealthy eating pattern. Unlike the way I like to eat, I'm on the Special K diet, which is Special K in the morning, in the afternoon for lunch, and then a sensible dinner. I'd like to say thank you. I'd like to take this opportunity to say thank you to Merv, the head cook here at the QCNCF, who has been more than helpful in trying to keep me on my diet, providing me with Special K. So thanks, Merv. Anyways, so the dogs, they've had some trouble, and I just want to make sure that Lorraine is eating right. I know she's eating, but I want to make sure that she's eating correctly. So Jermaine, being the sweetheart that he is, decided to stay home and make sure that Bethany, my Snow White teddy bear hamster, who I've trained to feed the dogs, because I'm not home a lot, and Jermaine's very busy, so she feeds her, but I think that's where she's getting a lot of the begging strips and that kind of stuff. So Jermaine's going to keep an eye on Bethany, make sure she's not sneaking snacks to Lorraine. I think that'll solve all their problems. So Jermaine's taking care of the dogs. I finally get ready. I squeeze into my dress, and I head out. This is around noon-ish. It takes me a while to get to the city. I live very far out in Queens, but the trailer park that I live in is very nice, the Happy Oak Trailer Park. They provide a tram, because it's all dirt roads out there, so no cars or anything will come out. So we take a tram that takes us to the bus, and then it's a good hour bus ride to the train station, which then we get on the train, and then we're in the city. So myself, Loretta, Loretta's son, who has ADD, and Merrill from the Happy Oaks Trailer Park Bar and Grill, who was catering the event, who I rounded up to cater the event for the Sunday Morning Mimosa party. We all get into the tram. We load up all the coolers with the food, in addition to all the activities and the games that I had organized. So we finally get everything into the tram. And about halfway down the road, Becky 2 just stops. And I'm like, what are we going to do now? How are we going to get into the city if Becky 2 won't move? What? I'm sorry. Do you have a question? I'm not taking questions. All right, one quick question. What is it? What's that? Oh, who's Becky 2? Oh, Becky 2 is the tram. I mean, not the actual tram. We don't ride Becky 2. Becky 2 is the mule that Happy Oaks Trailer Park provides to pull the cart, tram that we call it, from the trailer park to the bus that goes to the train station. But I can't really explain about Becky 2 without telling you about Becky 1. I mean, she wasn't called Becky 1, the original Becky. Actually, it was about a year ago now that she's passed. I was on another trip to the city, actually, for another Sunday Morning Mimosa event, and she had broken her leg, and, you know, Roberta had had her for nearly 17 years, so she kept moving around and flailing around, so I had to get out, and I had to hold her down while Roberta shot her. It was very, very sad. It was a sad day. And then we had the funeral and everything, and Roberta owns the Happy Oaks Trailer Park. She couldn't bring herself to bury Becky, and I mean, who could? I totally understand that. So we just, you know, left her out back behind Roberta's trailer. So about 3 or 4 weeks later, I get a call from Roberta, who's just as happy as I've ever heard her, screaming, "Becky's alive! Becky's alive!" And I said, "What? No, you can't be." So all of a sudden, Becky 2's up and running around. I go right over there. I see her. See her with my own eyes. You're not going to believe this. We call a vet over. She come to find out Becky was pregnant. I don't know how. I never saw another horse around her. But and she's 17 years old. Who knew that a 17-year-old horse could carry a baby that could live through being shot and 3 to 4 weeks later survive and then be born? So, you know, it was Becky's son, who we called Becky 2. Bam, there you go. We got a new tram. It was great. It worked out for everybody. I mean, it was absolutely a miracle. I witnessed a miracle. We've had people come and say that they can see Jesus in her fur. I don't know. I don't see it, but, you know, people lit candles around. It's quite a scene out there. It's a talk. I'm surprised you haven't heard about it, honestly. So, anyway, let me get back to the story, because it's important that we get to what I want to say. So we're trying to get to the party in the city. We're all on the tram. We got all our stuff loaded on the tram. Becky, too, won't budge. We're halfway through our tram ride, and we're in the middle of nowhere. I don't know what to do. So I decided to get out. You know, this used to happen every once in a while with the original Becky. So went out. I rubbed his nose. I sweet-talked him a little. And nothing. I got no response. So what always used to work with Becky one, always, but it was always the last resort. I went around the back to the back side of him, gave him a little pat. You know, you just little, come on, let's get moving. Come on, let's go. And he did not like that. I'll tell you what, he did not appreciate that. And I don't know how else to say it, but he just bucked real hard with his back legs right into my chest. Right into my chest. I've never been hit so hard in my life. Never. I mean, not even by Jermaine. So, Becky 2 bucked me so hard. I was like, "Ooh, mayonnaise!" The mayonnaise part was purely out of instinct, because that's Jermaine and mine safe word. That's our safe word. So, I didn't even think about it. It just sort of came out. On top of that, my Dress Barn Plus Women of Stature collection dress busted right at the seams. Right at the seams. There was barely anything left of that dress after that. I've never seen fabric disintegrate like that. It was really like it just exploded right off my body. And Roberta said she'd never seen anything like it. So here I am, recovering, just getting my breath back after getting knocked out of me in nothing but my maiden form undergarments. And I didn't skip a beat. I knew what I had to do. I had to get a new dress, and I had to get to the party. So I quickly unhooked Becky 2 and jumped on, because what else could I do? I can't get to a new dress carrying the tram. It was just going to slow me down. So I get on side saddle, of course, and ride Becky 2 straight to Dress Barn Plus. Walk in, grab another dress quickly off the rack, and get back as soon as possible. So back at the tram, I find out that while I was gone, Cheryl's water broke. So I delivered baby Jacob, and we were on our way. And on top of all that, I had to worry about all the food that we had for the party, because we just had it in Coors Light coolers. And I didn't know how long that was going to keep. So it turned out all right, though. So long story short, 3 hours later, and I'm not even going to mention what happened on the train with the blind Korean lady and her mentally challenged son, and then we got lost in the Times Square station again. I'm not even going to talk about that. We're at the party. So we finally get there. And I tell you, not one thing went right that night. My cell phone, first of all, is ringing off the hook by everybody and their brother trying to call me about this party. And I can't answer it because I have to wait for Jermaine to call me. That's the only way I'll answer it, because I don't have any minutes on my track phone right now, and I have to save what little I have to talk to Jermaine in case something went wrong with the dogs or something. So I wasn't going to answer the phone. And then I realized that I forgot the Swanson chicken dino nuggets, which were going to be a centerpiece of one of my dishes. So I didn't have that. And then Loretta, who I love her to death. I do like her. She's great. But she's never served at such a fancy place like we were at. So, of course, she's questioning herself. And I understand that. But she had to come to me for approval for everything. And that gets a little on your nerves when you're trying to organize a whole party, you know. So after we got all the food set up, I had to worry about the activities. So we got everything set up. We had Jell-O Twister right by the kitchen, because I figured we're going to be making fresh Jell-O all the time, so that would be easy access. We had the badminton net set up right in front of the stage until the performance. We could easily take that down quickly, but everyone would enjoy that. We also had all the water balloons, super soakers, and sprinklers right in the middle of the room, because it's, you know, it was away from all the electrical outlets. It would be the safest place for that. And, of course, we had the centerpiece, Crocodile Mile, set up right out the front door. So as people left, they could just go right out on Crocodile Mile. Yeah, I couldn't believe when I found that Crocodile Mile on eBay. It was great. You remember that, right? You remember the commercial? You run, you slide, you hit the bump, and take a dive. Yeah, it was great. I knew people were going to love it. So I had everything set up. Not 5 minutes before the party starts and people are already lining up outside, Loretta comes to me and tells me her son, who has his ADD, his favorite game is lawn darts, and she has to have it at the party because she couldn't get a babysitter and her husband. I'm not going to get into that story, but he had to be there. So in order to keep him happy, the only thing that keeps him happy is lawn darts. So here I am. Everything's set up. I got to reorganize everything because he has ADD, and we have to do it for him. So I quick thinking on my feet. I say, you know what? Why don't we move Crocodile Mile right in the center? So when people come in, they'll see it right as the centerpiece of the whole place. And we'll set up the lawn darts right in front of the front door. But, and I told, well, Carlos was there. Carlos was also helping me out. Carlos, who used to work on Sunday Morning Mimosa, a good friend of mine. I told him, Carlos, listen, Carlos, don't set up the lawn darts until we know everyone's in. And I would let him know when everyone was in the party. So we let everybody in. Everybody's in. I think everybody's there. We had our performers in, who were the Itsy Bitsies, who are amazing performers. And I had word that everyone was in. That's what I was told by my people. Now, I don't know if you all know the Itsy Bitsies. They're the world's finest little people performers, and they are great. They have a lot of artistic integrity, and they would not share with me their plan for the performance. Now, come to find out, their plan was to have a dramatic entrance through the front door with many of their troop coming in through the front door at midnight. Now, I did not know this. I was not aware, and I wanted to enjoy the show myself. So here it is, 11:55. Carlos comes to me, and he's speaking Spanish. I don't understand what he's saying. But I realize that we don't have noisemakers passed out. Then I look around at my bag, and I realize we didn't bring the noisemakers. So, quick thinking again, I say, well, we got these lawn darts here, right? And we got enough for everybody. We had plenty of lawn darts. How happy would it make Loretta's son if we hand out lawn darts to everyone at the stroke of midnight, we all throw a lawn dart? So I have Carlos pass out the lawn darts to everybody. There it is, 10, 9, 8, 7, so forth, all the way down to 1. Everyone's excited, stroke of midnight. Right as midnight strikes, everyone raises their arm with their lawn dart, and over the loud system, Fame starts playing. And in the door rushes, I would say, a good 30 to 40 of the finest little people performers that I've ever seen, from the Itsy Bitsies right through the front door. Everyone throws their lawn dart right at that very minute, and I don't need to tell you what happened after that. It was like it all happened in slow motion. It's like, Fame! I'm gonna live forever. And then darts flying through the air, right? I really don't think I'll ever be able to listen to that song with my cut-off sweatshirt and my leg warmers again. So anyway, back to the Itsy Bitsies. That's what happened, and that's why I called this press conference today. I need to apologize to the Itsy Bitsies. And also, I am truly sorry for what happened. But I think we all need to put everything behind us so that we can all come together to make the Spring Fling Cotillion the best possible cotillion it could possibly be. And the only way to do that is to have the Itsy Bitsies perform. So I'm publicly asking for forgiveness from the Itsy Bitsies and to please agree to come and perform at the Spring Fling Cotillion, because without them, I don't know how we could possibly be bigger and better than we were last year. I'd also like to thank the Children's Ward at the Queens County Hospital for everything that they've done for all 30 to 40 of the Itsy Bitsies that were sent there after the incident at the party. I'm sorry, no questions. I've given everything that I have to give. I've bared my soul to you all, and there's nothing else to say. Once again, this has been Tony R. LaFontaine, the original MySpace tranny, coming soon to Facebook. Probably later this summer.